And Tyler with the best opening.
What?
Nothing. It's just, Tug was like, and we're live, and you coughed at the same time. Well, hey, we're here, everyone.
Welcome to... No, we were live. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Welcome to episode 98 of Fans of Power. I'm Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. What's up, T-Rex? Feeling okay? You got a little cough there. I didn't know.
I apologize if my voice sounds rough. I thought I was dealing with allergies. I think it's a bit of a cold or a small flu or something. I don't know what it is, but I apologize for my voice sounding probably not like it normally does. And I'll try my best to not, you know, cough.
Hey, man, if you got a cough, you'll be fine.
All I'm trying to do when I'm coughing, you know, just trying to clear.
You'll be all right, man. Well, just real quick, I wanted to say in the chat room, I wanted to say hi to JSP, Motu Maniac, Tom Charlton, and we got Dan Rice here, too. So welcome, everybody, to the chat room, and hope you enjoy the show. Yeah, exactly. So you guys, if you want to interact during the show, that'd be cool. We can answer questions that you have. And yeah, so, well, anything new, Tyler? Anything like in
Before we get going, as we're recording this, a lot of us are just now learning that, of course, we're big wrestling fans on this podcast. And then, unfortunately, the greatest manager of all time has just left our planet. Bobby the Brain Heenan has just passed away today, and our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and friends and people in the wrestling business who worked with him. And you know, we praise his spirit for bringing so much joy, and we'll continue to, you know, as you go back and revisit old matches and promos and stuff like that with Gorilla Monsoon. So we want to thank Bobby Heenan for the wonderful memories he's given us.
Wow, that was actually a shocker to me. I didn't know that. I didn't know when that was posted.
You're just now realizing.
Just learning. That's why I was so quiet. I just found out from what you said.
Gary Cox, I think like around close a little after 7, sent me a message. Hey, did you know Bobby Heenan died? Like, no.
Wow, that's a shame. Jesus. Yeah, and you know what's crazy? Would you believe I'm glad I didn't do it because it would have seemed tasteless, but it would have been with me being clueless. I was actually going to do a little gimmick intro of like how primetime wrestling used to be. I was going to say, I'm Gorilla Monsoon.
We honor wrestlers of the past or wrestlers who've left us on here all the time. So
yeah, it just would have seemed a little bit out of place with me not knowing, but oh, what a shame. Yeah, he was the best.
I can't picture anybody that cuts a better promo than Bobby Heenan. I mean, even above my favorite wrestler, Hogan, above Steve Austin, you know, Shawn Michaels. I mean, list goes on. Bobby the Brain Heenan could get heat on anybody. He could get heat on a cardboard box.
He was great. Yeah, and no matter what he did. I mean, you know, it's weird. It's like he's somebody you love to hate and just love in general. Because what's funny is, like, there was two different ways with him. There was, like, when he was the manager outside the ring and when he would interfere, oh, my God, you hated him. But when he would do his little promos and stuff and doing the interviews in the back of store, you know, like when he'd do primetime wrestling with Gorilla Monsoon, you loved him. It's like you wanted to hear what Bobby had to say. You know,
I hated him at all times as a kid. Like, there was never a time that I liked Bobby.
I loved and hated him. Appreciated
the heels a lot more when I was a teenager. So I go back and watch, you know, Heenan with Mr. Perfect or Slick with the Boss Man or something like that. I appreciated the heels a lot more as I got a little bit older, and Bobby definitely was the best.
Yeah, you know? He was. And he'll be missed. Yeah, he was, like I said, nobody could beat him.
For someone in his condition, he sure as hell held on a long time. So
yeah, he did. He did. Well, that's sad news. I didn't know about that. And all right. Well, I was going to say again in the live chat, I want to say hello to Kevin Castillo and also Captain Chronic. They joined us up in the chat room also. So thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We have a couple different little topics. You know, we're going to discuss one thing, discuss a character profile. But as for news of Masters of recent things, of things going on, gosh, I think the only thing maybe I seen was, what, an Orko Dorbs? Is that like pretty much the only new piece of news? I can't.
Just to me. I mean, I think maybe I saw something like that somewhere, but it's really got to be something kind of epic in scale, or at least in appearance, for it to register in my head and stuff like that. I'll see it on social media and I'm like, just okay. So
Yeah, because there's just not much going on as for new news. I mean, we've seen the Super 7 reveals, you know, just about a week ago or something, which was fantastic. But beyond that, I'm sure we'll have a wait and see for a while. I mean, God, I still, every once in a while, I'm popping up on Facebook and somebody's like, hey, did you hear about the movie? And they're showing all this mock-up. I'm like, are we still going through this? Are we still going through this imaginary thing?
Somebody share a link with, it's an old link because it's always got King Grayskull attached to the image.
Yes.
I'm like, dear, where are these people hiding? What, you know, who moved the rock when they come out? You know, at this point, say, did you hear about the new movie news here, guys? I'm reporting it first. You know,
it's always that same image of that too.
In a trash can. You know, you're not doing anybody any favors here.
Yeah, because all it does
stay
is
up to date on your movie news here, people.
Yeah, because it just restarts the hype. It starts it over and over again, and then we have to keep putting up with typing. You know, because, like I said, I love that people...
Batman slapping Robin picture. When that pops up, that needs to be the initial response.
And I do. I always pop that picture up, and I update it every year. And like I said, I love the enthusiasm when the fans are always like, Joe, did you see this? And I always say, I thank you. I appreciate that. But then I let them know. I was like, this has been going on for almost 15 years. I was like, trust me, it's supposed to come 2019. It's not going to happen. And I know that all the enthusiasm would be great, but it's not going to happen.
We're
so,
approaching 2018 here with no...
It's still nothing.
No announcements whatsoever. Sony is not focusing on He-Man.
How long has it been since they did that hype where they talked about it's going to come out in December of 2019? When did they do that? How many months ago was that?
That was, I think it was way before summer, because I guess people, we figured if they announce anything, it's going to be at San Diego. And of course, San Diego came and went. There was no announcement. In December 2019, let's see, we're getting Star Wars this Christmas. The following Christmas is nothing. Star Wars, the third part of the new trilogy is coming out. December 2019. There's no way in hell Sony is going to put out any of their properties against Star Wars that month. I think Wonder Woman is scheduled to come out that month as well. So
Let's leave the whole movie discussion with this last thing posted in the chat room from Tom Charlton. He said, He-Man movie confirmed. He said, J.J. Abrams as director 2025. Pretty much, Tom. So, yeah, there you go. Because he's just saying that's going to keep delayed. So, we'll end with the movie.
2045 while we're at it.
Yeah, exactly. So, we're done with the movie because it ain't happening. So, now, what did you want to do? Did you want to do a discussion on one of the really cool books? Or did you want to discuss?
Yeah, let's do that first. We'll do Thief of Castle Grayskull.
Well, you want to start us off with this? By the way, it must have been referenced to... Because I love it. Guys, it's an inside little joke. Or not an inside joke. Like razzing each other back and forth, me and Tyler. You know, every time, you know, we refer to the heroic warriors as masters of the universe. He hates it. He's like, they're no, Joe. No. They're heroic warriors. That's what they are. That's what they're called. And he was like, I hated how they shoved it down your throat in MYP. I was like, but they said it in the old stuff. He's like, no, I don't care. Because in this book, they must have referenced that at least, I don't know, 8, 9 times. And even He-Man said it himself. But there you go. Go ahead, Tyler, you start.
I think this was the third Golden Book I got as a child. I got Sword of Skeletor, Caverns of Fear, and then The Thief of Castle Grayskull as a kid. Really enjoyed the book a lot as a kid. You know, an amazing cover by Earl Norum. Seeing He-Man in peril on the cover like that was an eye catcher.
Real quick, I could be wrong, but I thought this was one of Geno's covers.
Of course, I was waiting for you to chime in with your feeling. Just finding some way to say the guy's name, just because you like saying that name. So. Are you sure it's not Earl Norum?
I'm definite. That's Geno's. This is not Earl's. Earl usually marks all of his anyways, but you can tell it's always
part. Like I know Diachili did Sword of Skeletor and Caverns of Fear. I thought for sure. Earl Norum did Thief of Castle Grayskull.
No, I'm thinking this is Geno. I mean, if somebody wants to correct me, if I'm wrong, I mean, hey, if I'm wrong, I'll admit and own up to it. But it's just, he has a distinct way he draws He-Man, and that really looks like, it looks like his version of He-Man. But I might be wrong, but I'm almost certain it's Geno. But go ahead.
All right. Well, we'll give the blue ribbon to Joe there for that one.
Oh, and by the way, JSP is with you. He likes heroic warriors, so he's a good man. Here we go.
Yes, yes, we must stand united to just crush that lame ass title that was given to him in MYP just because they apparently couldn't think of anything clever to use.
Probably just copy it out of the book here.
Douchebag man at arms. Anyway, it's just a fun story of Skeletor successfully stealing Castle Grayskull itself, like the actual castle itself, in a giant cyclone, so to speak, and transports it to the Land of Shadows. And it's featured in the Golden Book VHS tape, too. So to actually see this book kind of come to life, and it was, even looking at the book, it was frightening to see, Skeletor inside the cyclone, kind of holding the castle itself inside the cyclone. He-Man leaps all the way up into the sky to grab a hold of it to keep Skeletor from taking it. It was just a...
And the video jazzed up a little bit with, effects and things.
Yeah, you got some effects with, some rocks falling and some swirling with the cyclone and everything. And, of course, the cover represents what happens. He-Man obviously does not keep the castle from being stolen. Gets caught in the cyclone itself, and Stratos has to fly into the sky and catch him before he falls to his death. And they go in search, looking for the castle, as they're being observed by Skeletor and Beastman inside Snake Mountain. And they trek for what comes off as a very long time, looking for the Land of Shadows, and eventually do arrive in this area that looks, similar to Eternia. I think the Land of Shadows is kind of done in that those panels of them riding the battle ram and stuff like that into the dark.
And it was pretty barren, like all the life has been taken away barren, from the land. Like
it's just a land of, very little light, a lot of darkness and stuff like that, Land of Shadows. And when they arrive, there's, as He-Man says in the Golden Book, a demon army, and Beastman's right out front leading the charge of these other orange-colored demons, and Skeletor is right on top of the castle, triumphant. And I remember in that panel, though, when they see Beastman and the demons, like, Beastman is drawn very weird-looking in that panel. As a kid, I just thought, why is Beastman drawn so weird? But then you flip over in the next page, and it looks like Filmation Beastman standing there with all his defeated minions all around him, and Skeletor's on top of the castle. It was just one of those things as a kid that you... You're like, why was that drawn weird? Why is Beastman drawn weird here, but he looks spot on in this next page, or he looks spot on through the rest of the book? Just, it's like kids are not stupid. We notice stuff as children, and not that it killed the book for me. It's just one of those little nitpicks that, much like Joe does a lot.
Yeah. That's the thing. When they showed, Beastman and all his, the demons, the demon army with him, it was kind of a little bit further back in the distance. So it's like, Beastman got, most of his details, but the demon army, not a lot. They just basically got blank orange.
Yes, to his credit, Beastman is supposed to be drawn at a distance as they're coming towards the heroic warriors for battle. So
yeah, and so he gets the color
for that, but it just looks so odd to me.
Yeah, because I eat it up to where I want more color. Like, I always understand that in a lot of these books, the generic kind of warriors, evil, good, whoever they may be in the background, usually are not given, full details of color. They're just like, blam, all orange, all gray, whatever. But, it's funny. Of course, it's not him, but I always say, hey, you could say Goatman was in this before anywhere else, because there is a creature right by Beastman that's got these horns, looks kind of like Goatman, but I know he's not. But it's things like that to where I was just, man, I wish they would have colored him up, because it would have just given more, a cooler array and variety of more enemies for the heroic warriors to fight.
Yeah, and I mean it would be really cool to incorporate Goatman somehow into some of these earlier stories, being that he only had that one appearance, and that's something that I think not that the story needs to be told by any means, but it would be nice to think of Goatman as being around at that time still, because
it'd be cool. Like I said, just use imagination to just create something, because these books, I love these storybooks. You know, there's usually just, you know, it's just always one, you know, picture per page. And that's why you maybe didn't get as much intensity as you wanted. You know, like a record book, you have the audio, you know, the VHS. But it's like you wish there could have been more showing of the battle, because basically it just said a battle ensued for a while, and eventually He-Man and them defeated Beast-Man's warriors to get past them to get after Skeletor. But, you know, you didn't get a big epic battle, you know? It would have been cooler to see, but, you know, you get the gist of it from
the gist that you got these demons, you know, showing maces and axes and stuff like that, and He-Man and the buddies just kicked all their asses. You know?
Yeah.
Beastman's the only one left standing. It's almost kind of like as a way of saying, we kicked all their asses. You want to come at us now? It's like, you're not Beastman. He ain't going to try that.
Is that so. Basically the only main ones was Beastman, Skeletor, and then these cronies? Or was there any other main villain? I didn't know if there was any other main villain that was in there besides them too.
No, this was just one of those stories. It's just Beastman and Skeletor. You know, just them. Because in the first... I always consider this the trilogy, where you've got Caverns, Thief, and Sword of Skeletor is this trilogy that in some kind of way for me is always kind of connected because of that VHS tape. And you had Trapjaw and Merman and Beastman in the first story, and then the third story you've got Merman and Beastman. And this one is just Skeletor and Beastman kind of flying solo together, the typical duo that they are.
Yeah, and what's cool is, and real quick, I just want to say hey to Aaron Johnson. What's up? He's in the chat room also, so thank you. Yeah, thanks for joining us. But, you know what else? It's cool to compare, like we've said before, the books with the VHS tapes. Because like you said, they put them in like kind of different unique orders, and then it kind of made you want to read the books, you know, a different way. Then it seemed like they added different little scenes sometimes on VHS that you weren't seeing here, or extra details. And you know, anybody can go to YouTube and you can just type in any of these stories and you can watch and listen to them. So you can get the comparison. Also, VHS of voice actors compared to the record books, which were different, which when me and Tyler both find out, because I didn't own a lot of those VHS ones, so I didn't know about the voices, and Tyler also really didn't know about the record stuff. And when he heard the different voices, like, whoa, you know, it was weird, because these ones for the records are so different and distinct, but you said the VHS ones tried to feel closer to a Filmation feel?
Yeah, when you watch those, you don't really feel like it's too far away from what, you know, as a kid, it's you're more acquainted with Filmation, and they do a pretty good job of mimicking most of the voices from Merman to Beastman to He-Man, Skeletor, the Sorceress. I mean, they do a pretty good job. The people at Golden Books who did those animated tapes. The only other one I ever saw was the Super Grover VHS tape, which had like a variety of Sesame Street, shorts from some of the storybooks. Those were fun to, and they were very similar to the Sesame Street characters themselves. They may have even got the same actors.
Oh, okay.
Do that, but
this book, you know, just real quick, some more things about it that's kind of cool is, first, you know, you've seen a great show of power from Skeletor here to just out of nowhere use that power to create a whirlwind to suck Castle Grayskull right off from the ground. And He-Man was on top of Grayskull at the time. And like you said, he couldn't hold on. He flew off, and then Stratos caught him. But then, you know, He-Man had, I think, shoved like a sword into a rock to try to stay from getting sucked. But you know, because they almost got sucked in. Stratos and He-Man almost got struck, you know, sucked in the whirlwind. But they, you know, held on. And then they, you know, had to find it themselves, you know, like you said.
In the VHS, they're actually caught inside the cyclone.
Oh, did they show it, like, a little more? Because I never watched
the VHS. Like, there's the shot of Stratos holding on to He-Man inside the cyclone. And you see the swirling motion as if, like, they're going around and around and around until, you know, I think He-Man... plunges his sword, I think, into a rock or something like that to kind of give them some stability. And
I'm going to have to watch that. Stratos. Yeah, because I'm going to have to watch it, because in the books you see kind of like them being in the swirl of that, you know, being sucked in the cyclone, but to see it kind of animated would be fun. Yeah. That's, I mean, these books...
It's not like it's a whole lot there, but it's just a little bit of animation.
To bring it to life a little, you know? I mean, if you weren't watching on TV, like you said, and you had the record... you know, to listen to, you know, you got lost in this. You're using your imagination as you're looking at it and hearing the sound effects. But also they made reference, which I thought was interesting, is the reason Skeletor was able to take Castle Grayskull is because the sorceress of Castle Grayskull wasn't there. She was out on a mission or doing her duties, so he was able to take the castle, which I thought that was kind of weird that they brought that up. Like, you know, what could she have been doing? And I didn't even remember her in the earlier ones being shown unless it was as that goddess look.
Really, and that's something that it's I haven't watched all the VHS tape in a while, and I don't even think that's mentioned. It may be mentioned that they address the sorceress, but honestly, in watching that tape, there's no mention of the sorceress at all in Caverns, Thief, and Sword of Skeletor. She's only mentioned in Time Trouble, the fourth episode on that tape. So it really makes it sound like this is catering to the beginnings of the He-Man toy line, where the sorceress was a non-existent character in the mythology. It was strictly who can keep, you know, who out of the castle and take control of it, which, you know, is the traditional, well, maybe not traditional, but the early beginnings of the toy line, where there's nobody's guarding it. It's just whoever can get a hold of it.
Yeah, usually that spirit and that voice that we've seen in the early comics, you know, and then half the time, sorceress slash, you know, goddess slash Teela, they look the same, and that's how we were used to seeing those sorceress was basically, you know, how the goddess Teela was. So that's what we were used to. So yeah, it was weird. I just thought that was interesting to find a reference of that. But I mean, it's a good story from, again, beginning to end, and whether you listen to it, whether you watch it on VHS, or you do the YouTube, or you have the record and the story, you know, book along. Either way, you got to watch all the different versions and read it, because you get just different interpretations, different ways it went out. But all these early ones, I wish that they could, like, you know, put a little collection of just having them all together, maybe even some kind of little different way of audio file for people, maybe jazz up, have a new way of somebody else reading it, maybe more close to a Filmation sound, or even just more barbaric, like the way it used to be. Because I was used to that. I was used to the different voice actors from the records. You know, it was so different because, you know, I wasn't hearing, I couldn't remember when I had it, if I had this before I looked at the cartoon or not, but I thought I always remembered these record books at least listening to them before the cartoon. At least I thought, because remember then when the cartoon came out, they went back and did these and added mustaches to Man at Arms. So these stories, I believe, you know, obviously predated, at least these early ones predated the cartoon.
Yeah, they you know, because the toy line came out in 82, Filmation came out in 83, and I think a lot of those books came out in 83 as well, so it's almost like they were in production around the same time the Filmation was, but they're not really having any kind of collaboration together, you know.
Golden right, because no Prince Adam, you know, no Prince Adam in these.
Yeah, just not in those. So, it's fun, too, because the story ends with He-Man. I know I got a little bit of this goofed. He-Man starts out on top of the castle at the beginning of the story, and at the end of it, he leaps to the top of the tower where Skeletor is at and takes on Skeletor with the laser cannon.
And I like that. I like they talk about his great strength. Like you said, his great strength and power. He was able to leap all the way on top of Castle Grayskull. It's like, oh, there you go. Even this He-Man had some super strength with his leaping ability to do that.
Yeah, he goes up there and is dodging the laser blast, and I think the rest of the Heroic Wars end up coming up there too, and Skeletor attempts to surrender and then decides to double cross him, and then they, reflect his blast, I think, from the
Havoc. He-Man reflect the Havoc Staff to make
Skeletor, and he ends up kind of being blasted away. He doesn't die, but it sends him probably back to Snake Mountain, I assume, something like that.
Yeah, he disappears, which also within him disappearing, the hold over, you know, of Castle Grayskull there went away, and it said it disappeared, was supposed to have reappeared back where it originally started, and brought life back to that land that became barren because of, you know, Skeletor or whatever power he had. So it became lush. And of course, shows some typical stuff. It showed Teela like looking down at flowers or something. They always like depicting her sometimes looking at beautiful things. I think.
Because, you know, that's kind of what you'd expect the female characters to be doing. You know, even though she is an ass kicker, she can still appreciate the, typically most women do love flowers, and it doesn't feel like it's out of character. This is a warmer Teela, you know, because, you know, as we all know, I like to slam her portrayal in a lot of the media, but she's a lot more level headed. She's never doing anything rash or stupid. She comes off as a very likable character in these goals. Not that she's given a whole lot to do, but still, she's not. not portrayed as a hard-headed warrior who's about, you know, striking first, ask questions later, you know, and getting yourself in trouble.
Yeah, and also I think this book, this came out in 84, but, you know, it was probably written, obviously, earlier than that. So, yeah, it's weird. Your childhood memories, when you think about things from cartoons to books to comics or whatever, sometimes you got to try to put it all in the place of what you've seen, what they were thinking or writing at the time. You know, like you said, were they having Filmation in mind? Was it before Filmation? Was it, what the heck, let's just do our own story? You know, either way, you can appreciate it for what it is. I just... You know, I'm not going to, I don't sit here and sometimes try to historian do every single piece. I mean, I could, but I just honestly, I sometimes try to go by memory of things that I just did when I was growing up.
Oh, it's all because I think for a lot of fans too, a lot of us have these things burned into our brains. And, you know, they may not be the spitting image page by page, but a lot of us will still remember. I mean, because I don't have Thief of Castle Grayskull in front of me at all. It's packed up in storage. But, you know, I read that book a lot. I mean, the ones that I had, those three books, I looked at them a great deal and then watched them on that tape a whole lot. So, I've got pretty much the gist of it just because I looked at them so much. I didn't have the dialogue memorized or anything like that, but the essential story itself, you know, I know pretty well.
I listened to them.
It's a good story.
Yeah, I mean, it was. Like I said, I just loved listening to it. I used to played on the record player so much. I don't know, you can call me lazy probably. I didn't like reading it. I didn't want to read it. I just wanted to listen. I wanted to feel like I was having my own cartoon in my, I don't know, some form by listening and looking at the pretty pictures.
I looked at pictures. I mean, that's how I read comic books as a kid. I couldn't read half the stuff that was in them. I just let the pictures tell the story. And the same thing with the He-Man books. I had to, you know, couldn't read. And then the VHS tape comes along and it pretty much tells me the story along with the images too. So I can, you know, as if I, you know, didn't already get it, I get even more, you know, clarification with the exactly what's going on, the dialogue and everything. So,
and was it you? Did you say that you knew somebody? I didn't know if it was you or a buddy that you said one time you put in one of the VHS, you know, of these books. And somebody's like, wait a second, that's not a cartoon. That's not like a Filmation. Like, they were so used to seeing Filmation that when they seen the VHS, they were questioning, like, what is this? It's just pictures and words.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was a while back when we mentioned that. I think somebody got offended by what, you know, the Golden Book VHS. I guess he was expecting, like, this Filmation adaptation of the books. I'm like, no, there's a bunch of these Golden Book tapes where they adapt a lot of their books from She-Ra, Sesame Street, He-Man, and a lot of those, there's these children's storybooks about these talking animals, or I think like The World or Richard Scarry or something like that, or I think that's the name of the author, I think, where he did like the Gingerbread Man story, like that wolf or fox that's chasing the gingerbread, you know, never catch me on the gingerbread man. Those old Golden Book. I'm sure if I showed people a picture, they probably know what I was talking about. But they did a bunch of those, and the old gingerbread man gets eaten in that. Oh, dear God.
That sounds insane. I've never seen it or read it.
No, but I'm pretty sure it's the Busy World of Richard Scarry, which I think Nickelodeon adapted as a cartoon based on those storybooks. But Golden Books did all those storybooks, I believe, and they did one of those VHS tapes with the limited animation and stuff like that. So they've done a bunch of them. It's not okay. Like they decided to do this fluke tape of He-Man, like, what the hell is this? You know, I don't want this, and throw it in the garbage can.
Yep, so that's why I say Dark Horse needs to get a hold of all the Golden Books, put them all together, give a special little, like I said, maybe a little, I don't know, memory card, whatever the hell you use to listen to the files.
Yeah, me and Joe do like a nice introductory or some interviews with the various authors and illustrators and stuff like that, because me and Joe, we're big fans of these Golden Books. You know, we can ask the hard-hitting questions with these guys, like, you know, what the hell were you thinking? You know, not including Goatman in this one scene here. Roger
right.
Black. Who?
I love some of the crazy color errors, too. Like, in this one, that Stratos, I think, has a yellow helmet or something. Always cracked me up. It's like,
yeah, there'd be some sort of color error. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Right. So, it'll be fun.
This ain't right.
But that's what we need. A Golden Book collection from Dark Horse. And if they want to thicken it up, you know, hell, add in the Star Marvel comics, something else. There's plenty of things to spice up another book. There's more books that can happen, no doubt. But, well, that was the Thief
of Castle. Excuse me. One moment here, Joe. Talk to the fans there.
All right. Well, hey, I was going to say, I can see right here we got in the chat room again. We have Dan, and I see Tom's been talking, and they were asking too right there where they said, I think it was Tom said, wait, are these in the big Dark Horse book? And they're not, but that's what I mean. We need all these golden books. I mean, from the Super Adventures, these small, you know, soft covered ones, the ones with audio files, if they give it to us, those harder edition ones, you could put in the Sunbird Legacy. There's sticker books that have stories. I know some people think, oh, sticker book, I mean, why would I want this? But no, the sticker books, there were some that had unique stories to it. Some of those paint ones, even the coloring books. Golden did so much. It's insane. So, you know, I mean, they, like I said, so they had, yeah, they had coloring books that had stories too, where one Skeletor was marrying Teela. I, you know, he was to wed Teela. I won't tell you what the story was and if he did or did not, but you can find those definitely on eBay if you find those coloring books. They even had a stamp slash sticker book. Like they had these unique kind of little stamps you put, and that had a story. So there's a ton of stuff that Golden could put out. And that's what I was just telling him, Tyler. I was just telling him about the all the stuff that Golden has done that they could put out into a book. And now I'm going to let you take over for a second, because for some reason I am sweating horribly into my eye. And
I wonder why. I wonder what could possibly, aside from the fact we're in early or mid-September, Joe's wearing a big red scarf, a mask, headphones, and probably got the heat on.
Wow, I mean, hold on, I think it's almost done. It'd be crazy if you guys start seeing tears come down, but for a second, it was sweating in my eyes so badly that my eyes started burning.
Like a spoof from Gangster Paradise what's his name? Weird Al Yankovic, when they're making fun of that rapper who's sweating a whole lot in Gangster's Paradise, and
wow.
Got Weird Al singing, just sweat just rolling down his face. That's what's going on. That's a weird. I can't believe I just pulled that reference out of my head.
That's weird, but no, okay. I'm cool now, but that was weird. It was burning my eyes so much that my ear was twitching and I couldn't hear out of it. But I'm good now. So no, I was just
like, you're twitching like Sloth in the Goonies, like when he like hears something and like his ear kind of moves.
No, like, not like the no. I didn't mean outside twitching. The inside, my eardrum was going, and I couldn't even hear nothing. But okay. Well, no, I was just letting them know because they're asking about, you know, if Dark Horse did the golden books. And I said, no, but I said, beyond these soft ones, the Super Adventures, the hard ones, the Sunbird Legacy, I said, also the sticker books had stories. The coloring books had stories. The stamp book had stories.
I can't see the coloring books being done, though, because
yeah,
I don't
love
think
it if they
anybody
did.
Who did those would be able to.
Hell, right. I'd scan them. If they want, I could scan them. And they're in black and white. Hell, okay. I'd color them up.
Well, that's
really?
The case, then I would support that.
No kidding. And I don't even color them in for them. I could color those things, but they had their own unique stories, like the one with Skeletor to marry Teela. Like I told the fans, I won't tell them if he did not, if he accomplished his goal. But, I mean, it's low.
Oh, he accomplished his goal, all right. We just didn't tell anybody.
Oh, there you go. I just wrecked it all for everybody. So, yeah, I can hear you now, Kevin. He just laughed at me. Like Kevin Castillo said, Joe, can you hear me now? Because of my ear twitching. Yeah, I got you, man. So, well, that's that. And I wanted to say, before we move on to our character profile, I don't know if you guys caught it online, James Etock just put up another preview of the Return of Faker cartoon. That,
what,
you know,
that we got?
Well, I mean, yesterday, I think he put it up, or the day before. Did you see the one where it was Merman, Beastman, you know, they're all inside a Snake Mountain. Oh, what a genius. Oh, God, just genius move. There's an homage to, you know, I won't say the book or the image, but something Faker does with Beastman that's an homage to He-Man and Beastman. Iconic pose. But this is, I love it. The use of existing voices that they took from, you know, existing episodes to create a new episode along with the new footage and everything they're creating. It's like, God, it feels like it's an actual Filmation episode. And I know he said it's going to come out in 2018. If you guys haven't found that yet, just, you can look it up. The Return of Faker.
It was supposed to be released this September, like the whole thing when he was hyping it up, you know, months and months ago. Like, okay, September, like, no, teasers, that's it?
It's great.
Like,
it's
that
great
new Buster.
It's a great teaser, though. And I believe he said he had a new YouTube channel. I will be honest, I forgot what it was, but I'm sure if you on YouTube type in The Return of Faker, it's going to bring up the preview. So you'll be able to see it.
The subscribe. Official He-Man YouTube channel is his YouTube channel. So I'm sure he's got that along with his various trivia videos and stuff like that. And when I watch this, I recognize so many lines of dialogue from certain episodes. I'm like, oh, this is great. This works so good at pulling that line of dialogue and that one. Yeah, mix it together. I mean, this works off the whole idea of Filmation reusing, you know, certain pieces of animation and taking a particular character and coloring them differently. I mean, they're doing a fantastic job of using what's been done, voices and animation, to create a brand new episode.
Absolutely. So definitely look it up on YouTube, subscribe to his channels, and then I'm sure he'll put up more of his previews there. Of course, I'll be honest, I don't want no more previews because I just want to see the cartoon. I'll
be trying to spoil for the rest of us just because you're on this
no preview
kick. This high strict diet of like no trailers, no spoilers, nothing, as if like, well, the rest of the world, you know. Now, granted, there are a lot of people who put together some really crummy trailers that spoil big moments in movies. But I don't think that's going to be the case with these guys spoiling heavy stuff.
I just want to be excited now. I don't want to look at more. Just like when you put up those preview pages for the mini comic of Leech, I'll let you know, I haven't looked at any of them. Every time you tag me on
Every
Facebook,
time I tag you, you didn't look at any of those.
I don't look at any. Every time you tag me, I just sit there. And now here's the thing. I don't delete it from Facebook. I hide it from my timeline.
I didn't post anything that spoils anything. You obviously know that Leech is going to be a big part in the story.
There's going to be pages. You have
believe
pages.
Me. There are moments in that mini comic book that I have not shown to anybody other than Karsten, and of course he's the one that drew it and everything. And no, there are some heavy spoiler stuff that I'm like, no one else has seen that. They won't see it. And he's sending them out now to people who purchased it already. This week, I believe. I think I got that right, Karsten. I know I screwed it up last week, so I apologize for that. But no. Everything that I sent is like you expect the Heroic Wars to do battle with Leech, and I'm like, well, I didn't think that really spoiled anything. And
I still hide it from my timeline so I can't see it.
Fine, you do that.
I still do it every time. There'll be a day where we'll have to do that comic on the podcast, obviously. But yep, I'm just waiting.
I want to thank everybody who did purchase a copy of that. You know, it's really cool that people took the time to purchase a copy of it. And I hope everybody enjoys it. And when you do get it, please let us know what you think about it. I'm not afraid to take any kind of criticism. Because if it does well, we plan to do the next one, which there's a teaser for the next mini comic, providing this one does well enough to justify doing a second mini comic. So if you want another one, you'll get an idea of what we're going to be doing next if you don't already know from listening to earlier podcast.
Awesome.
I won't say what it is, and just on the idea that Joe didn't pay attention to me when I said it on an earlier podcast.
That's right. I listen to nothing. So, again, I wanted to also say welcome to Christopher Dahlberg in the chat room. He's just joined us. So, yeah, he's awaiting what our next topic is, because he was wondering if we already started discussing Stinkor, and we have not. So, let's start with Stinkor. I'm going to talk about first when I just first experienced the toy, obviously. When I got that as a kid, again, I didn't know about the whole Stinkor Merman gimmick. I mean, it was probably a couple years later. I always said, I looked up at my shelf, I was like, wait a second, is that Merman's body? And then I realized, wait a second, Moss Man is Beast Man? You know, isn't it kind of funny and clever that the ones that had these gimmicks of stinking and smelling were swaps of other characters? Beast Man to Moss Man smells, and then Merman to Stinkor smells. It's just it kind of a little weird little thing. Nothing super important, but I found that kind of interesting, the swaps of those, both of them, to become stinky characters. And Stinkor was stinky. I never understood what a patchouli oil is that people talked about. But I remember the first time I opened that pack, it's like, wow, that does stink. And it held a stink a long time.
Mine did too for years. Like it was very, very mild. Like you had to practically put your nostrils on the figure to smell it, but you could still smell it on there.
Yeah. You know, the other cool thing with beyond the smell, it's like, you know, using the Mechanic type armor, if you will, for Stinkor, it felt like it worked better because it looked like, you know, it was, you know, apparatus to over his face. Mechanic, of course, it was first with him, but I never really got any kind of thing. It's the, oh, it's cool armor. But they did a genius move of using Mechanic's armor to put on him because it looks like it could
be. Well,
the
dark colors, too, because I as a kid, I didn't see the Merman figure. I think it was probably sometime in the early 90s at some kid's house from some like way far off family reunion of people I've never seen before and still haven't seen since. And this guy had a closet full of all of his He-Man stuff all, you know, boxed away, and he pulled him out for me to see him and stuff like that. I think it was the first time I ever saw him, man, and it still didn't put it together because I was still young at the time that was Stinkor.
Right.
I can't remember. It was sometime, I think, in high school, or I think it was before high school when I put the two together, because I eventually did find out, too, that Beastman and Mossman were the same one. But I had Stinkor. I think when I was 4, I got him for a birthday present from my grandparents, along with the Golden Book VHS tape.
Oh, okay.
So I got those two at the same time from my grandparents, and I love Stinkor. I just thought he was such a wonderful character, great color scheme. I didn't take him as a skunk character. It didn't register me that he was a skunk. He was just because he didn't look like a skunk, at least to me. I mean, he's got the color
scheme. I'm glad you said that. First I want to say hello to Louis Coronado in the chat room. Good to have you here too. So
yeah, good to be out here tonight.
Yeah, so yeah, we got a lot of people in there. Thank a lot of new
buddy for taking the time to join us. We appreciate that. We really do. That's
we
awesome.
We do. It is. It's great to have you. Also with Tom, he was talking about, he said that Spikor, he said, worried him as a kid along with Stinkor. He said because he thought that Stinkor would smell really bad and he was worried that Spikor would hurt. So that's, yeah, I mean, I guess he did look like it would be a figure that could poke you. But, you know, when you talk about Stinkor, that was something that was really noticeable. You know, there were certain color schemes that you always seen with some characters, but he really stood out. I mean, that orange and black and white, it was something that you weren't used to. Like, what is this color combination? And I did understand the skunk thing when I, you know, with the white and black, I understood the skunk gimmick, and well, obviously with them stinking, but what a cool looking different figure. I love the combinations of the stinky smell. And while I didn't play with him a lot, it was fun to, I don't know, like you said, even though it stunk really horribly when I first got it, you're a kid, you smell things. Like, I remember just picking up Mossman and Stinkor half the time just to smell them. I mean, it's terrible a kid would pick up figures to smell them, but that's what I did half the time with Stinkor, was just, I wanted to smell them and then put them back on the shelf. I think I never wanted to wreck them. Maybe that's another thing that gets in your head as kids. I was thinking things would wear out. Like, I thought maybe if I kept touching them, his stink would go away. If I kept touching Mossman, I was afraid the moss would come off. Same thing with Grizzlor. I never liked touching them too much because I was worried to wreck them. You remember how I told you I always pack rat in my my figures, to where I still have everything from all my figures when I was a kid, because I was afraid to lose them after losing the one thing, my Beastman whip, when I was on vacation. But otherwise, they still have all their pieces. So that's the reason I think I didn't want to touch them too much, was the worried of getting rid of their smell or something. I don't know.
I never thought of such nonsense as a kid.
I did. I was a weird kid. I mean, remember, you're talking to somebody that, you know, saved every Minicomic, and then as for the card backs, I would cut the art, and I'm holding these things so I don't want them damaged, because my brother used to blow up G.I. Joes and destroy everything, so I hid them like they were treasures of the world. I mean, just picture a kid having to hide his figures and keep them in a safe place because he's afraid they're going to get destroyed. That was me.
No, I mean, I play with Stinkor a great deal, and I liked, like, people, like family members who had never seen him before, I'd say, here, smell him. Smell Stinkor. You're like, oh, God. And when I got older, and I came across people on occasion that smelled like Stinkor, I'm like, as a kid, like, I had never heard of patchouli.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't know what it was.
To this day, I come across people at work who are wearing that, and I'm always reminded by Stinkor, you know, a couple times a week while I'm at work, because there are some people that that do wear it, but I was not aware of that. And then I come to find out that, like, you know, I love the smell of Stinkor, but the actual to wear it, I've never been able to understand why people find that to be a flattering fragrance to be put on.
Yeah, of all things, it's used for a stink, you know, a figure that stinks. You'd think, why would you? But I don't know.
I don't know if it's both men and women. I've only been around women who were wearing it. And believe me, I mean, it's, you know, like, oh, God. You know, it's not a flattering scent, because if I told them, you smell like Stinkor.
Right, right.
You know, and I remember as a kid, too, with my buddy Matt Hilton, I would he would ask me about He-Man stuff because he was really into Transformers when we were older kids. You know, we're in elementary school, middle school, and still collect. He's into Transformers. I'm still into He-Man, and I tell him Stinkor still stinks, and he just thought that was the funniest thing in the world. But I guess to him it sounded like this figure is crummy, or the fact that he still smells after all these years. But that was a line as kids that he always enjoyed me saying that Stinkor still stinks. Like, and he did. He still stunk way into high school, and I think I've still got my original Stinkor on the shelf. His leg kind of curls off to the side there, so he doesn't stand up very well. I had to always have to prop him against something.
Does he still have any stink left to him? Yeah, grab it. That always cracks me up just to see. Because I think my Moss Man still is a slight, very faded pine.
Nope,
all gone?
All gone. Of course, then again, my nose is a bit stuffy at the moment, too, but I still can't smell any patchouli on him.
All right, yeah, because Kevin Castillo, he said that he used to keep his Stinkor and Mothman in separate baggies away from all the other characters, so that was his way, I guess, of preserving the smell.
So I guess you don't want Fisto and Too Bad smelling like Mothman and Stinkor, because that's saved for that particular character. But something that that we've talked about a lot is the lack of respect a lot of these characters get from the fan base, and Stinkor, I think, is one of those, even though I he's never comes to mind as the first one that gets slapped around by the fan base. That tends to be more like Snout Spout and
Rio Blast
and Mechaneck at times, and that's due to MYP. Yeah. But Stinkor, because you hear the stories that Lou Scheimer had no desire to do Stinkor, which I'm like, why? You know, as if like they thought this was going to be offensive. Like, come on, guys. There's nothing offensive about a character that stinks. He's a bad guy. He's supposed to be making the good guys run away because his smell is so awful. And I just find that so bothersome that the people at Filmation find it to be very off-putting to use Stinkor in the cartoon. Like, they balked at the idea. I just felt like... Yeah.
I don't get it either. I mean, especially when it's somebody, it could be like, you know, I know that, like you've said before, they're like, oh, it'd be a fart joke. I wouldn't even think it would have been a fart joke.
No. I mean, I thought that was just...
Because it's...
They just didn't like the character. Who knows? I just... Same thing with the device called the Ball Buster, which eventually became the Bashosaurus. And this is in that Toy Masters documentary where they mentioned that. And you can only assume they're talking about the Bashosaurus, but they're saying... This was really gross and disgusting. You know, I'm not sure if that's the way these guys edited the trailer to make it sound like that, but kind of makes you wonder, like, you know, I mean, we see a lot of these concept things, you know, in the Power and Honor Foundation book and various other places. There's nothing in these prototypes that sounds, you know, like that would be off-putting to children. And I kind of can't wrap my head around the idea why Stinkor... Thank God he was using MYP, and of course
they used him cleverly.
Fart joke in there.
No, and you're right. That's what I mean. They used it cleverly. It was never anything about a fart joke. It was just this creature that permeates a horrible, horrible odor, and that's what it should have been if they did it in Filmation. Not like he would have been walking and you would have seen, you know, poot out of his butt or something. Oh, the fart joke. No, he should have been a horrible,
noxious. Well, he
does that
in the episode.
What's that? He did that in MYP.
Yeah, you don't remember that.
I honestly don't, because I haven't rewatched a lot of those too many times.
Yeah, and when he comes in with his new armor and everything, he says, call me Stinkor, and then you hear this, bark, and the Skeletor laughs. I was like, oh God, Skeletor's laughing at a fart joke here.
Oh God. I mean, but did they actually show it coming out of his butt, or you just heard it?
It kind of comes out from a lower part, kind of.
Oh, I gotcha.
Making it look like it's an actual fart. Of course, they actually put in a sound effect that sounds like a fart from Rocko's Modern Life or something like that, but...
Because I just wish, like you said, it just could have been just like, you know, like a character that just does stink, and then the thought of him coming into battle. I mean, like you said, it could have... Like how earlier, when I was sweating into my eyes and it was causing me to tear up and burn, I mean, he could have just the smell alone. That could have been like some... Almost like a noxious gas to fight the, you know, the heroic warriors, and then they have to find a way. Maybe Cyclone could spin and blow the smell away. I mean, Filmation's way of doing it could have, you know, hammed it up, cutesy, whatever you'd want to say, but you could have still had battles and reasons to use him without him being a fart joke. But then, like you said, we get him in MYP, which, what a great revamp of him to first be Odifus and then to become Stinkor, but yeah, it's like you could really take this character seriously. He doesn't look like he would be an absolute joke or a stupid character. He looks like a serious threat. You wouldn't
want him. He's a legitimate threat when he's, you know, running through various parts of Eternia. You got all kinds of wild animals are running away and causing stampedes because they can't bear to be around the smell of the guy. I mean, that's an awesome villain. It's a powerful villain that somehow people look at as not a legitimate villain. And, you know, you try to fight one-on-one with some guy you can't bear to be around because the guy stinks so bad. I mean, let me tell you this. You've been around some stinky people at the gym where they've got, like, a large cloud of body odor around. There's no way in hell I'm going around them because if I do, I'm going to start dry heaving like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. You know, so that makes Stinkor a very powerful and very valuable villain to have amongst your roster.
And it also could have gave some more battles, but, you know, it could have gave more screen time to Mossman, because you remember in the mini comics we at least had him going at it with
a legitimate rivalry to set up. You know, you've got Fresh versus the Stinky Patchouli, you know, or Stinky Skunk, so to speak.
Yeah, because like I said, we got it in the mini comics, and we've seen Stinkor before in some other types of literature, and just like others have said in the chat room, you know, the UK comics used him quite a bit, but. You know, it could have then, because in Filmation, you probably know right off the top of your head, I mean, how many times did we get to see Mossman in the Filmation cartoon? You know, like...
He showed up and hear their skeletons everywhere, Ancient Mirror of Apothar, and I think maybe one other episode, and then he has the cameo in the Christmas special, and...
And so, it could have
they're not the best of appearances anyway, either, you know.
Could have given good screen time and time to shine to having a battle with Stinkor. You know, almost a little side story. Because like we've seen many Filmation episodes where it didn't always focus on Skeletor. And then sometimes they would try to give a little bit more to this particular heroic warrior, whoever. It could have gave both screen time to both of them and maybe ingrained it into people's heads more to where maybe they could respect these characters a little more. Because it seems like a lot of times when these characters didn't pop up in the cartoon, they're some of the least respected for whatever reason. Because I think a lot of people really have it ingrained in their head, the Filmation cartoon. And unfortunately, they didn't maybe have it to where they enjoyed the mini comics too much. I mean, I loved it all. I know you did, and probably almost everybody in the chat room did. But a lot of people...
It just makes you wonder where it starts. Where does this inner circle of people slamming certain characters start? I mean, I remember reading for years on you know, internet forums that people were slamming Snout Spout. I'm like, why? Why is this such a disliked character? I mean, I didn't get it because I just have... And I have open arms for so many 80s toy lines and characters, heroes and villains of all shapes and sizes and colors and everything like that. It's hard for me to sit there and say that character sucks. So, you know, and that goes from G.I. Joe to Turtles to, you know, Silverhawks, Thundercats, Transformers. But for He-Man, I'm like, no, there's room for love. And I'm like, I don't see any member of this vintage roster up here that does not belong up there, or that I find to be,
it's a world of fantasy.
Below average.
Yeah, I've always said that. It's a world of fantasy and imagination. I mean, they're just all sorts of different characters. So when you say, oh, a guy that has an elephant head that, you know, and a human body, and he looks kind of mechanical, I mean, or whatever, why does he belong? It's like, what do you mean? I mean, we got bee guys, we got, you know, fish guys, we got, I mean, what are you talking about? It's just fantasy. Of course it fits in well. And he would have his purpose. And heck, especially if they would have jazzed up, you know, if they didn't just want to, like, you know, when you talk about Snout Spout as being hose nose, you know, for in She-Ra. And, you know, he squirts out water and stuff. And they make it seem like, he's kind of worthless. What does he do? Just put out fires? But picture if they could have amped him up and jazzed him up like they did in the UK stories, to where he's shooting, I think, ice and fire and all sorts of things out of his.
Well, I mean, you don't want to overdo the guy's gimmick. You know,
they did it in the,
because he does project water.
The UK one had him using multiple things and blasts, and it did make it
look
pretty cool.
That, I know what you're saying here. I'm just saying, personally, I think it's a bit too much.
I liked it. I liked all the stuff. I liked it. I said I liked it. I liked that they gave him more than just water. Because like you said, it could have been just water and ice. But, I mean, heck, okay, if you didn't want the fire or the beams, like you said, at least if, like, let's say they could add water, ice, and then, like, a mist. Like, you know how when, you know, water creates a steam.
Well, I mean,
and
yeah.
It can fog up a room.
Steam, like vapor, you can create hot water, cold water, or ice. You know, out of the – being able to just use the essence of water through his cybernetic head where he can control the temperature of what he's projecting. That makes sense, but just shooting fire just for the sake of, hey, have, you know, projectiles of anything coming out, you know, it just, it, that seems like, okay, that, from a fantasy standpoint, you're giving this guy way too much, you know. It's, that's like saying Fisto could take his right hand and put it on his left hand. You know, why do you need to do that? Like, no, you don't need to do that. Or that Triclops, you know, I mean, they established you get three different visions, but then, you know, one eye can fire beams out of it, which naturally seems to make sense, but take one or the other. You know, I don't, you know, I like these characters being simplistic, or as Joe likes to throw in everything in the kitchen sink.
Hey, some of them you jazz up. Some can deserve it. But one thing that should never pop up, Don Charlton just made a mention of a character. I never want to mention that character. He said the Mighty Spector about I would never want to see him in
why did this gentleman bring this character up?
I think that's when we were saying characters to be in the cartoon. Let me see. I just want to go back. I want to make sure I'm getting you right here, Tom.
I'm hoping that if he's bringing him up, he's hoping that, you know, we're going to rip that guy a new ass.
I think, okay, well, let me see. Wait. What was it? I think he said, I think it's okay for some characters to be a bit of a gag. Like if you'd had Stinkor on there, they could have sort of amusing goof. And then Kevin Castillo said, LOL. He said, I meant Merman. And then Tom said, what about the Mighty Spector? You know, I wouldn't want him as a goof. I wouldn't want him as nothing. I wouldn't want that character appear in cartoon, comics, pictures, posters, anything. I want him gone and erased from Masters history. God, it's one of the worst characters I've ever seen is the Mighty Spector.
He's not a character. He's the character that the brand manager forced on everybody to buy. Yeah. Because he was just like, no, I'm going to put my own character in there, and everyone's going to buy it. If you want Drago Man and Fearless Fighter, you got to buy my created character that nobody seems to like.
And Sir Lancelot, I want them gone. Yeah. I hate those.
Mad at him and Jeff Johns for Fortune, those really lame-ass characters in that sub. Yeah, fortunately, I didn't have to buy that sub. I had my buddy Matt Sterner bought the sub, and I purchased Drago and Fearless Photog, and I bought Sideshot. Just for the hell of it. Not that he's a great character either, but...
Yeah, that's another bummer. The only good one was Drago Man and the Fearless Photog. Fearless Photog, because we were supposed to get him when we were kids, and Drago Man, because, damn, that was just an awesome design.
Why was Cool Horseman creating all those characters? Other than Fearless Photog, which needed to be done, period, the right. Horseman should have been the only ones to design figures for that classic sub that we got. It was
because they created the only new good one.
Yes! Not to mention, these are the guys who are responsible for redesigning these characters for MYP and for classics. They should be the only ones, unless you're going to bring in people who are, you know, like Kevin Sharp or Axel, you know, people who are well-versed in designing and adding a nice edgy or sharp look to these characters. People who drew pictures in crayons as a kid... and say, well, you know, I had this since I was a kid, and I've always wanted to, like, well, I'm sorry. That's great for you, but you know what? The rest of us aren't interested in what you drew as a kid in crayon. You know, and to force characters like that into the mini-comics, into the DC stories that you would buy on iTunes and stuff like that. Like, stop forcing these characters. We don't like them.
Yeah. And I was going to say for the chat room for Tom Charlton, he said that, oh, no, he says, I love Lancelot. I think he's neat. Hey, you know, there's lovers of everything. If you like him, you go ahead. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not here to bash people for their personal.
No.
Not going to do that.
Yeah, I love like
we're not going to, you know, do the typical word of control here. We don't like your opinion here, so you're banished from the podcast and the chat room and the forums and others, and blah, blah, blah.
He likes, like I said, I mean, anything anybody likes, you go right ahead and like or love.
We encourage it all, so it's not like we're going to cast you out, you know, for such things, and that's perfectly fine. You know, as long as you don't mind our opinions about it, we certainly aren't going to banish yours, so we appreciate you sharing that, so.
Yeah, and, you know, when we talked about the Fearless Photog, you know, there were many people that didn't know about him being the winner of create a character contest back when we were growing up.
That made me shake my head. I couldn't figure out, how the hell do people not know about this create a character contest from the 80s? I mean, I just felt like, I was not aware of that until the very early days of He-Man on the internet, and seeing pictures of Fearless Photog, I'm like, oh man, that would have been so cool if we'd gotten that, man. And to hear people bitching and, you know, setting things on fire and rioting in the streets and going on the forums and social media and, I hate this, I ain't buying this because I want a stupid character. I'm just like, God, you people are so naive.
Well, I mean, I love Fearless Photog because I remember.
I thought he was a great character.
Because I remember wanting him when I was a kid. Yeah, when we seen him as a kid, I thought we were going to get him. So I was super excited. And when, you know, we didn't get him, I was super bummed. So I'm just so glad to see that, you know, he was finally remade. I mean, just what a great thing to do when they made the Create a Character Contest, the new one again. And then they finally gave us what we were supposed to have after all this time. But a lot of these other ones, I mean, beyond, like I said, the Four Horsemen. Oh, I think I heard somebody blowing his nose. But yeah, besides the Four Horsemen making Drago Man, which is the most awesome of the Create a Character Contest, you know, figures. I mean, those figures. It's just the ones I didn't really get into. I just didn't get into Psychop. I didn't get into Spectre, and I sure didn't get into.
Well, when you realize that there were others that were up for possibilities like Brainwave, I-Beam, Netta, Compactor, you kind of made it feel like, well, why weren't these made? Obviously, Mattel thought they were good enough to have Bruce Timm come in and do some illustrations of these possibilities. So why weren't these made? I mean, it's just very irritating that there's some great created characters that, you know, no, we didn't have them as kids. We weren't. I certainly wasn't aware of them, but to look at them, they look very good. They're original looking designs. They make sense. And I mean, characters like Spectre and Psychop. I mean, I really wanted to try and get into Psychop. I didn't really want to.
I couldn't because I looked at the figure and the figure's jumbled. And so was his bio. His bio and the figure were both jumbled. Reading that bio, it looked like a hot mess. And looking at the figure, it just looked like they just grabbed a bunch of crap.
The people who are writing the bios, you know, all together don't know, you know, lack of a better phrase, jack shit.
But Psychop was really bad.
Language. Don't know how to write bios. They don't.
His was really bad. I mean, some were bad, but Psychop was just really bad. And, you know, I know something that's not going to happen, but I always like to put things out there, you know, for Super 7, just hypotheticals and stuff. Since they're going to be redoing, you know, not redoing, they're making 5.5-inch figures now, and there's other things we got. It would be such a great honor to have a vintage-style Fearless Photog along with if they could give some of those other runners-up. I mean, like I said, I-Beam, could you imagine having a vintage version of that?
I still, all those figures that we mentioned, you know, I would love to have them in vintage and classics form because they're Brainwave and I-Beam, I definitely want. I just think they're such cool-looking characters. And to and of course, the rest of these other created characters that were done in the contest that Castle Grayskull Man won. You know, when you had characters like Gangstor, Bublore, Major Header, Three Beasts, and Raja, those guys deserve to be made, not Castle Grayskull Man.
Yeah, those would be fantastic classics.
It looks so cool when Axel drew those.
Yeah,
I mean, I mean, when the designs were revealed as possibilities to vote on, or I think they were revealed as runners up. I'm like, how the hell did these things not win? They look stunning. I mean, Bublore, a guy made of this liquid bubble inside like this glass dome body. I'm like, it just. Look,
fans
really
came up with some great ideas. They really did. They came up with some fantastic ideas that unfortunately didn't make it and should be made into classics.
They still should be. I hope to God Raja gets made. Having that 4 or 6-armed Arabian villain with the scimitars, I mean, just looks like a real evil bastard. You know, I just such a brilliant design, and I hope to God that you know, Super 7. Like, okay, well, let's make those. They look pretty cool. I mean, why the hell not? So. Wishful thinking. There was some really good.
Right, it's always wishful thinking. That's why we put it out there. So hopefully, as long as things keep flowing well, you know, we keep getting the stuff. I'm sure there's no reason. As long as fans keep buying and we're pleased, let's just hope it keeps heading in a positive direction with the classics and with the 5.5-inch line. So because that's what I'm really excited about. So let's just cross our fingers. You never know, but. Well, it's been a fantastic episode. We appreciate every single one of you guys that have been in the chat room and discussing. And, you know, like I said, we'll be going back and forth with you. And I hope you enjoyed the show. So, but before we wrap it up, Tyler, you got anything to say to the fans or anything you got going on? What's up?
Not particularly. No, I guess I just continue to plug the unofficial Leech mini comic if you're interested in it. You can still purchase a copy of it at the Cardbacks Mini Comics and More Facebook page. You know, you can go to my Facebook page, and I've posted about it several times. I've tagged Joe in it. If you're friends with Joe, you can go to the stuff that he's ignored and click on it yourself.
Right, you guys can click. I ain't looking at it, but you can click on it all day.
Because I've shared some previews to get people enticed to show that, you know, the finished form looks pretty damn good. I'm quite impressed with how it looks, and I hope people like the story that we told, and hope it does well, and you know, hope we can just keep doing this for fans, just for fun, you know. Recommendations. Nothing in particular.
Have him go to YouTube. Have him check out these things.
Well, I was going to say that, but I felt like, you know, I've plugged it before, but why the hell not? You know,
why not?
Yeah. I plug it again because it is, excuse me, it is a legitimately good, and not just for nostalgia factor. When I go back and rewatch it, I'm impressed by how good it holds up, because it really does. The voice acting is really good. It's fun to watch these limited animated sequences.
In both formats, you know, let them know about the record version and the VHS. It's cool to look at both of
them. Yeah, I mean, and I, as I said before, they're about 3 minutes long, each story. And you've got four stories to listen. You got Caverns of Fear, Thief of Castle Grayskull, Sword of Skeletor, and it ends with Time Trouble. Trouble with Time, excuse me. I think. Time Trouble? Time Trouble or Trouble with Time?
I think it's Trouble with Time. Oh, my God. Now you got me. No, I think it's Time Trouble. Oh, my God. Now I'm sitting there questioning myself. What the hell was it?
I love that story as a kid. I should remember that.
Oh, my God. I think it's Trouble. Oh, my God. See? We don't know everything.
Time Trouble.
Okay.
Hang on. I'll figure it out right here.
What do you got?
Oh, wait. All right. This plays right off. I did not catch this.
Okay.
But the episode Time Trouble is called The Eye of Eternia on the VHS.
Yes. Wait, thanks for saying that. I just seen that the other day, and I never knew it. I was like, wait, why are you calling that? I was like, you're calling that The Eye of Eternia because The Eye of Eternia is in the book? And then, I mean, it's in there. You will see in, you said Time Trouble, right?
Yeah.
There's this thing called The Eye of Eternia that's in there. And you're right. When it went to that video, they called it The Eye of Eternia. I was like, huh? So that just shows the cool little differences it does between everything. Change in titles, adding stuff, different voices. I love this stuff. See, we just pop something right there too for everybody.
Yeah, and it's a fun story too, especially to watch. And Orko's featured in it. They try to do their best Orko impression. It's okay. It's pretty good, but I always found that to be a creepy story because they add a little animation to the tentacles coming out of the eyeball that's grabbing the sorceress, and she's being sucked into the eye, and Skeletor's watching him from afar in the video. It was just creepy to me as a kid. So, that was, again, I guess it's no harm in recommending stuff again in case people missed it the first time, because there's a lot of great stuff that if you haven't watched or watched in a long time, you owe it to yourself to go back and give it another shot or revisit it just for the hell of it, because there's so much great material out there for He-Man.
Yeah, and also, it's one little kind of cool little tidbit I noticed. There's on the Burger King boxes that I always love talking about, they drew the Eye of Eternia. They called it something else. And I'll show a picture later of it. It's a little comparison I did, but it was the only other time I remember seeing the Eye of Eternia on anything. Out of all things to have it on was the Burger King kids meal boxes, where they would, you know, draw stuff on all four sides, have cool little, you know, trivia pieces or fun things and things mixed up. But it appeared on there under another name. And I'll maybe show that, and, you know, with the link to this podcast for others later. And anybody that's, you know, in the chat room right now, I'll still show you guys. I love that it popped up somewhere else.
And the artist was not Dino Diachili either.
What, for what? Oh, for the Burger King boxes. Yeah, it wasn't him. It wasn't Earl Norm. We don't know who that
was. No, it was, we talked about him on a previous podcast. The guy who did the artwork for, Secret of the Dragon's Egg. A lot of his artwork was used on his Burger King boxes.
What was it? See, I didn't even know that. I'll be honest.
Not all of it, but some of it was used. And it's Louis. Oh, man.
We are just bombing. See, guys, we're not perfect. We are bombing and messing everybody's names.
Mistakes. We're not editing the show to show that, oh, no, wait, we always edit our mistakes, so it looks like we know what the hell we're talking about all the time. We're human just like you guys are, too. We make mistakes. You know what? We're proud to say that we're no different than anybody else.
And I'm the biggest
We're not claiming to be the ambassadors for He-Man or anything like that. We're just two guys who enjoy praising the hell of this property that has nothing going for it right now and just trying to help keep it alive. So,
yeah. Like I said, we always will forget stuff. I forget quite a bit I am
man. Fernando, Louis Fernando, or something like that.
Coronado, maybe. Or what am I saying? Coronado. This is sounding like an ancient treasure.
Coronado's from Indiana Jones 3. Coronado's dead, and so is half his grandchildren.
We'll find out later. So, all right, wait. Okay. Well, that you got stuff from Tyler. So as for me, I guess it's time to wrap it up. It's time to say, go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to hemanworld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe, He-Man is your ultimate fan group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
I guess what they say is true. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
And I do know that one, but I'm not going to say it, and I'm going to save it for a fan. I do, I'll at least say the actor. I'll say Jim Carrey, but I'm not going to say the...
Why wouldn't you say the name of it? Like,
well,
what
I want people...
That certain...
Okay, Dumb and Dumber. Okay, Dumb and Dumber. There. I just wanted somebody else to...
Well, you've bombing for week after week after week. I figured if you knew one, you'd at least jump at the opportunity to say, all right, I have watched that movie.
Well, the ones that I've been forgetting or I don't know, I'm an idiot.
Well, last week, Black Sheep, I was quoting Chris Farley when him and David Spade are hitting a chunk of the road, and I just chunked in my pants.
I actually don't even remember that part. Okay. All right. Well, guys, thank you for joining us in the chat room, and we'll catch you next week.
We'll see you next week, guys.